Whoa, mercy, mercy me. Films ain't what they used to be, no, no. Movies getting shittier, AI's not any wittier than Hollywood hacks and old Chris Pratt's just sitting there. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. Welcome to Single Take with Daniel Barnes. That's the me of Mercy, Mercy Me. And if you couldn't tell from the new theme music, I kind of know how to use the GarageBand app on my phone. Yeah. I've been doing more and more of these movie review segments over the last year or two, so I decided let's get some new theme music and let's get a new title, Single Take with Daniel Barnes. That's a me. Although the title Single Take is already ironic because I don't need to do one single take for Corky anymore because I also kind of know how to record and edit my own episodes now. This and the GarageBand app I just mentioned, these are just two of the things to which I have achieved mere competence, not to brag. But speaking of mere competence, let's get to this week's films. I joke, of course, but mere competence in a January new, that's pretty good for a January new release. Like, wow, what if that happened? Like, wouldn't that be great? Typically, it's a dumping ground as the kind of holiday releases, the award season favorites get released or expanded or re-released or whatever. So it's usually not a really hot time for the new releases. But let's see what we have this week over the next 10, maybe 15 minutes. I won't keep you too long. I'm going to review Chris Pratt in the sci-fi murder mystery Mercy, and Alia Shawkat in the indie satire Atropia. So let's start with Atropia. So Atropia, we mentioned it just very briefly last year on the podcast when we were talking about the Sundance Film Festival, because Atropia won the Grand Jury Prize almost a full year ago now at the 2025 Sundance Film Festival. It's actually shot in summer of 2023, so what's another year, right, at this point? Directed by Haley Gates, making her feature debut based on her 2019 short film Shako Mako. Atropia stars Alia Shawkat, Callum Turner, and Chloe Sevigny. And I apologize if that pronunciation was bad, but I refuse to learn. And that same goes for you, Marty Supreme Star. IMDb synopsis of Atropia follows an aspiring actress working on a U.S. military base that simulates an Iraqi war zone. Yes, Atropia. Sort of based on a real thing. This is a real thing out there in the California desert. This place called Atropia, where they kind of have war games and they sort of simulate scenarios in a fictional Middle Eastern country. It was actually, I guess, created in 2012, but the film's set in the mid-2000s as the focus of the war in the Middle East was shifting from Iraq to Afghanistan. The surge was happening. And so this is all kind of somewhat, you know, grounded in reality. Shawkat plays Fairuz, an ambitious Iraqi-American actress who sees these war games as an opportunity to hone her acting skills and even as a potential springboard to Hollywood stardom. That may sound kind of ridiculous and far-fetched, but in one of the centerpiece sequences, she does seize a chance, or attempts to seize a chance, to show off for a visiting Hollywood star who does play himself in an extended self-deprecating cameo. I won't spoil it for you, but let's just say I hit the roof, man. Okay, I had to count to 21 and then jump to a street. I had to step, it's Channing Tatum. Okay, it's Channing Tatum. So this already somewhat hopeless situation, that kind of backfires the scene with Tatum. It gets further complicated by her sort of shadowy heritage. You know, we have characters here who are playing these parts, but they're sort of based on their real life situation as immigrants and exiles. They're kind of openly questioning, is this exercise, is it teaching soldiers to kill or care more efficiently? And this is all additionally complicated by Fairuz's relationship with Abu Dis, a fake insurgency leader played by an ex-American soldier who longs to get back into the fight. That's Callum Turner. This one was a near miss for me. Shawcott, I think, was fine. Turner's good. It's all well done, I think. And Gates even shows off some chops as a filmmaker, especially comedic chops. And she does it in a nice, restrained way with some of the sight gags. But it just, the mix doesn't work. The thematic weight of the material, the emotional components of the love story, they're all a little kind of out of grasp. There's all these disparate pieces of kind of satire and sincere emotion and comedy and political commentary, and they don't all ever really gel into this compelling whole. Tonally, it sort of comes off as glib to me, especially in one of the major climactic scenes, which is Fayrouz just reciting Donald Rumsfeld's Unknown Known speech, you know, like it's the Daily Show from 20 years ago. With everything happening in the world, it feels soft. Again, obviously, this was a film that was shot almost 3 years ago now, but it is interesting not knowing beforehand that Atropia was expanded from a short. My initial thought was this would make a better short. You know, it just didn't feel like there was enough there to fully support a feature-length film. I've never seen the short, but kind of expanded it. It just feels a little meager, a little underdeveloped, and just slightly out of touch as well. But speaking of meager, underdeveloped, and out of touch, let's get to our next film, Mercy. Mercy. Ooh, Mercy Me, directed by Timur Bekmambetov. Very sorry about that. You might know him best, if at all, from films like Wanted and Abraham Lincoln : Vampire Hunter. The film stars Chris Pratt and Rebecca Ferguson. IMDb synopsis says, in the near future, a detective stands on trial accused of murdering his wife. He has 90 minutes to prove his innocence to the advanced AI judge he once championed before it determines his fate. So essentially what we have with Mercy, it's a ticking clock whodunit, kind of think DOA. It's set in, I believe, 2029. Pratt is a cop on the edge, standing trial before an AI judge in Mercy Court, and he needs to find the real murderers or he'll be executed. Mercy Court, we find out in this very convenient prologue that is apparently shown to people being tried in Mercy Court, that explains the whole Mercy Court system and how it happened and why it happened, crime getting out of control. We needed a new solution, so we created this AI system where the most hardened criminals are put on trial by AI as judge, jury, and executioner. Bekmambetov, he also produced the films Unfriended and Searching, both of which entirely take place on phones and computer screens. And that's an essential piece of what is happening pretty much throughout the entire film. It's a movie about scrolling through your phone and your friends' and family's phones with a big literal ticking clock in the corner of the screen. Honestly, this is just me. I'm easily distracted by, you know, numbers and things like that. Not a good idea to have a literal countdown clock for a film that is just utterly tiresome. I just kept looking at it and be like, how much time? Had really still that much time? Oh boy, yeah. Woo. So yeah, just think near future DOA written by someone who watched parts of Minority Report on TV one time. But for all the emphasis on futuristic advanced technology and doom scroll hacking and questioning AI and all that, the story, I mean, it has a feel of like an early 90s CD-ROM game. He has to investigate it. He has 90 minutes and he has to investigate this thing. So you go here and you ask this person a question and get a clue. Then you go here and you ask this person to get a clue. Look out for red herrings. Oh no. It's not compelling on just the most basic story level, and we never really feel for Pat's character, Chris Raven. It has the same empathy problem as I think the DOA and other films like it have, which is that I think as an audience, we need to kind of care about someone on like a sort of personal level before we can care about them on the existential sort of guilty, innocent level. Mercy unfortunately, it's just too distracted by all of the screen hopping and all the gimmicks to develop any sort of characters beyond just first level cliches. Pratt, he's in a chair for most of the running time, and an actor can do great things just sitting in a chair, just with their face. Unfortunately, not this actor. Ironically, he phones in his performance because he's on the phone. The entire he's on it, and he phones it in. So, good. Of course, there's the expected hand-wringing about artificial intelligence controlling our fate and all the potential downfall of that, but it's barely skin deep. It's not even skin deep, really. And ultimately, the film does sort of come down on the side of the mercy courts, you know, because AI will, you know, learn to care about us, I'm sure. And even more heavily comes down on the side of Big Brother government surveillance as a way to help us solve pointlessly complicated murder revenge plots. The harshest critique that the movie has about AI is the suggestion that it could possibly get something wrong. Gasp! Have you ever used ChatGPT? AI doesn't know how many arms most human beings have. Doesn't know that arms are connected to shoulders. Doesn't know that multiple humans don't share one single arm. But you're telling me that making AI judge, jury, and executioner could possibly have potential somewhat negative impacts. Well, I never. It's nothing. It's water. Bad movie. Yeah, it's intermittently thrilling and once or twice clever. Frequently funny in the wrong way. But overall, it's a skip. So that's a measured, tempered, no thank you very much, please, for Atropia. And a get the heck out of here with that so-and-so for mercy. Atropia opens today in select markets. Has your market been selected? This is a question we often ask ourselves at the end of the day when we have a moment for self-reflection. If you live in the San Francisco Bay Area, yes, you are among the chosen ones. Congratulations. If you live in the Sacramento area like me, not this week, but I say keep hope alive. Outside of that, you're on your own, buddy. Mercy opens in wide release, including IMAX theaters, today, January 23rd, 2026. I'll add that I did see it in the 3D IMAX format. Didn't add a lot, I thought. And that's it. That's all I got for you on this episode of Single Take with Daniel Barnes. I'll be back with more reviews of new movies sometime in the next couple of weeks. If you're a fan of classic movies, check out the Cannon Fodder podcast, which I co-host with the great Quirky McDonald. We just reviewed Godard's Parole aux Fous earlier this week. And we have Abbas Kiarostami's masterful Where is the Friend's House coming first Tuesday in February. If you want to support any of these endeavors, please visit daredaniel.com and find Support the Show in the menus. The support of our donors is essential and, as always, hugely appreciated. Until next time, I'm Daniel Barnes saying, save me a seat in the back row. Bye-bye.